How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. The Lakers won and broke a three-game losing streak, so that's nice. Harrison and I are still recovering from the new year because I was an idiot. Harrison, how are you holding up, though?
I'm going to be totally honest with you and our listeners. I have had better weeks in my life, but a Lakers win does a whole lot to kind of clean that up. That was a lot of fun to watch how they played tonight.
Absolutely. I lost the tweet already, but somebody said basically that, you know, you kind of started thinking about tanking, and you and I have already talked about tanking and stuff, and then the Lakers.
It was Jerry Kachalian. It was the Appy Armor creator.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
You kind of see the Lakers play the way they're playing now, and you say, oh, yeah, that's right. They can be really good when they shoot 61 whatever percent that they shot tonight. We'll go ahead and start there, but before we do, make sure you're following the show at Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek and Mack Weldon, and Lakers10 on BetDSI.com. We're going to start by talking about the game and a few notes that kind of popped up from before the game and then during the game. And then there was a report tonight about what the Lakers are thinking about doing in terms of managing personnel, and it's definitely interesting. So we'll go ahead and start with the game though. And you mentioned something that I thought set the tone for how the game was going to go today when you said that Luke and Randall, how they wanted D'Angelo Russell to play. So I'll go ahead and let you make that point, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Well, you kind of made it for me, but they basically, after last game, Julius was pretty open with the media about how he was telling Russell, hey, be more aggressive in the fourth. He told him going into that fourth quarter where Russell had, I believe, like it was 14 of his 28 points or 12 of his 24 points or something. He had half of his points in the fourth quarter of the Lakers' last game, their loss prior to their win against the Grizzlies. And Randall had said, you know, I was telling D'Angelo to be more aggressive tonight. And Luke Walton said the next day at practice that they're totally fine with Russell's shot selection, how he's playing, and he thinks he's starting to get it back a little bit. And I thought that it was interesting that given those two things, Russell really came out gunning tonight, and not gunning in the negative connotation, gunning like he was hitting all of his shots.
Yeah, and when you say gunning as a negative connotation, I actually like it when he guns with the negative connotation. Like I think the Lakers as a whole respond really well. Like I think Julius Randle is the guy who, when he's playing well, the Lakers generally are playing well. But I think the Lakers and Laker fans respond more to D'Angelo Russell's success in ways that I don't think they respond with anybody else on the roster. And tonight when he was out there making threes and making some of the passes that he was making, it lit up Staples Center, and the Lakers continued with that momentum throughout the game in ways that they haven't been able to when they gave up leads. Now, they did give up a lead, kind of, sort of, but I don't know. Basketball is a game of runs, so when they went up by whatever it was, 8 points, and then all of a sudden found themselves down by one early in the first quarter, I just kind of figured that that's going to happen no matter what. But I thought tonight They responded.
Yeah, I didn't think that they were going to shut the Grizzlies out even when they were up 8-0. I was like, no, I think the Grizzlies are going to get on the board today.
I mean, I can't believe you have so little faith in the Lakers defense. but it was good to see as the game went along that when the Grizzlies responded, the Lakers typically stopped momentum in ways that they negative momentum in ways that they flat out haven't been able to do recently. And they did it by using ball movement and not trying to go, you know, 1-on-5. And I think that's why they were as successful as they were tonight compared to the last weeks or so.
Yeah, and I think getting back to the Russell thing, I think some of that why he gets the team and why he gets fans so fired up is the aesthetics of it, right? Mm-hmm. He looks so confident when he's launching that stuff, and it looks effortless. And tonight it resulted in 6 of 9 from 3-point range and 6 of 12 from the field overall. Okay, so actually all of his field goals that he made were threes. I didn't remember him making any twos, but that would explain why I didn't remember a whole lot of action around the basket. And I mean, he was just rising and firing when he got the ball. There was nothing special. And his assist numbers, he had 6, so that's better than normal for him against just 2 turnovers, so that's pretty good. But I just thought overall, not just assist wise, but I just thought his passing was again really good tonight. And the types of passes that he was making were those next level reads that we've come to expect to see from him occasionally, but it seemed like he was making those consistently tonight.
Yeah, he's been. I thought the reason, and again, we've talked about this before, but the assist numbers, I've never bought too much into. You know, I mean, he's on my fantasy team, so that kind of stinks that that the assist numbers aren't a little higher. But as a fan of the Lakers, the way the Lakers tend to play is the ball handler, the primary ball handler in a pick and roll, is pretty rarely making the actual assist. It's a lot of hockey assists. And it's smart of them to do this, because if you have Julius Randle as the second guy or the screener, it then makes sense that he would get the ball and you would want him in space trying to create. So if you're going to complain about the assist numbers, you got to do so with the context of, well, what was Julius Randle able to do and how often was he put in that spot because of D'Angelo Russell's decision making in the pick and roll.
I think it's pretty fair to say that Julius Randle was put in a pretty good spot in that role tonight. Ends up with his third, I believe it was his third triple-double of the year.
Uh-huh.
And he finished with 19 points, 11 assists, and 14 rebounds. So pretty strong game for Papa Julius, who I think it's – everybody's bringing it back to him playing really well since he had a kid. You know, I think it's impressive that he got in such great shape again so quickly after having a baby.
You're such an idiot. Oh man, my wife's gonna enjoy that joke. But the thing that I like with Julius Randle tonight was he's getting quicker with his reads, and you saw it tonight where, you know, my criticism of him all season has been if he is that guy who's getting the hockey assist, he has to make the decision quickly enough so that the person he's passing to take the shot has plenty of time to get the shot off comfortably. And he did a really good job of that tonight, as you saw with the triple-double. And, I mean, the stats being floated around all over the place, this was the first triple-double against the Grizzlies in 177 games or something like that. And the Grizzlies are a good defensive team. They play the game tends to slow down against them because of, you know, the grit and grind kind of stuff. And you would kind of think that it would constipate what you're trying to do statistically. And you know, D'Angelo Russell having the game he had tonight, and then Julius Randle, we already talked about his game. This was a really good collective. I'd actually, other than the Warriors game, I'd say this was the win of the year.
It's definitely up there. I'd have to think a little bit more about that back to some of their wins. But yeah, I mean, this was definitely their best win in a very long time. The other ones they've kind of just barely eked out, or it hasn't been against that impressive of a team. This is their best win. This is definitely their best win in like a month and a half. But yeah. Two things on Julius Randle. Did you happen to catch who the last player was to get a triple-double against the Grizzlies?
No, I didn't.
because it's going to make you feel a lot worse about this. It was Michael Carter Williams. So that was the most hurtful clapback the Memphis Grizzlies PR department could have sent out at that point was, yeah, he's the first player to have a triple-double against us since Michael Carter Williams. You know, that's
and look how that's working out.
If you're on a list with Michael Carter Williams, that's kind of – it's not really somewhere you want to be.
Nope.
So I'm not saying that there's any comparison there. I just thought that was funny, that that was kind of the response. But then getting back to your point on Randall and you thinking that he's really good when he's really into the game like this, that was almost verbatim what Luke Walton said after the game, was that he really liked how alert Randall was and how he that was what he liked most about the game, not the stats and stuff, because coaches aren't allowed to be impressed with stats. They have to correct you and say, you know, what the little thing was that they noticed. And he really liked how alert Randall was, he said, and how in tune to the game he was the whole time. And Randall mentioned in his post-game interview that it was because Walton had been challenging him at practice. I think his exact quote was, he really pissed me off at practice, and so I came in and I was ready to, like, show him what I could do, or something along those lines.
Right.
And I thought...
This from Ryan Ward, I think, is exactly what you're talking about, where he said Julius Randle on the next step in his development, not taking possessions off, and he repeated not taking possessions off. And that's for those who are, you know, the couch critics of young players, it's really hard to stay focused, you know, night in, night out, every single play on what you have to do. And it's why, you know, that's where immaturity really shows itself, where, you know, you just kind of find yourself, wow, I just made a really nice play. I'm going to sit here and hold my hand up after a three or whatever. And you're likely there to make a mental mistake or, you know, mess up a rotation defensively. And it's good that, you know, there's at least an admitting of a problem right now. It's just a matter of developing said problem. The last thing I wanted to make, the last point I wanted to make about this game, and look, it was a great win and all that, and I don't mean to, you know, rain on a parade or anything like this, but
oh, here we go.
Well, the way they finished the game wasn't great, right? Like, I think they wound up winning by only four, and at one point the lead was up near 20, 19.
They won
20.
By 14.
Oh, really? Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I read Bill Arum's tweet wrong then. But whoops. But I wasn't
we'll
thrilled.
That.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled with how they finished the game, though. You had, you know, some bad rotations here and there. And I know one play, Randall got a rebound and had it stolen from him by Zebo, who just kind of stepped back into the court and walked right into a steal. Like, these are things, again, where I was talking about not taking possessions off. The Lakers were in a position where they should have probably been able to at least get closer to giving the fans tacos. But you know, that kind of came
away. Well, that would require them to hold an opponent under 100 points, which just isn't going to happen unless that opponent throws the ball off their own feet repeatedly for 38 minutes or something of the 48 minutes of the game, because the Lakers defense is just, as fun as this win was, and like you said, we don't want to just rain on people's parade, but the Lakers defense is still very bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Memphis' offense is just not good.
Yep. So again, I thoroughly
enjoyed
D'Angelo
Russell's habit of completely ignoring his man behind the three-point line totally worked out for the Lakers though tonight, because his man was Tony Allen. So it looked like brilliant defensive game planning.
That's just game planning. That's strategery. All right, so we'll go ahead and move on, though, from this game, unless you have anything else to add on it.
No, nothing on this game specifically.
Cool. So Steve Kuyler provided a report today. Now, did he...
Hold on. It was a tweet. It wasn't a report.
Oh, dang it. All right. Well, that's annoying. But he said publicly, he stated publicly that the Lakers front office don't sound all that interested in making a move or making a trade this year. And let's go. I'll let you just react first, and then I'll build on what you have to say.
Okay, so I think games like this are kind of why maybe the Lakers wouldn't be interested in making a trade this year, if that report is true and it's not just secondhand, or it's like them trying to build leverage for a trade and make their guys seem more valuable. You never know with this stuff, because everything that gets leaked for a reason. So there's always some type of motivation there. But if the Lakers really aren't interested in making a trade and moving on from guys like, say, Lou Williams or guys like Nick Young. Nights like tonight are why. Their young guys are able to get a win, and it's with the help of these kind of veterans who were really productive. Nick Young and it hit six threes, and again, man, him and D'Angelo, neither of them made a two-point field goal. That's pretty amazing. They were 6 of 9 from three and 6 of 11 on three for those two. So the Swag brothers were at it tonight. And Lou Williams, it actually did not play as well as I thought just by watching him, and ended up with 14 points. He was okay. But I think games like this are why the Lakers don't want to trade those guys, because when they're producing, it gives their young guys a chance to win. It gives them a chance to be in a good mood. I mean, I'm seeing the video of this post game right now as we're recording this. Everyone's smiling in the locker room. It puts the team in a better mood. And I think that allows you, when you're a young team, to work a little bit harder because you feel like there's actually a chance that you're going to win. I think the last couple of years, not that they didn't work hard, but I think it's harder to get up and come to work when you just don't feel like you have any chance for success.
Yeah, so it's a couple things. One, I do still like how much the Lakers seem to care about the chemistry with this group. Because like you said, everybody's smiling right now. When somebody makes a good play, like my favorite thing, they have one of the most fun benches. When somebody does something...
Yeah, what's your favorite thing you've seen from the bench so far this year? Because I have one from tonight that I loved.
Well, it was just like every time you look over there, somebody's just dancing. Like today Jordan Clarkson, Nick Young was kind of giving everybody high fives as they walk over there. And then Jordan Clarkson just decides, nope, now's a great time to start dancing in front of people. You know, and again, it's obviously not something that he's going to show up in the box score. No shimmies per game is going to show up anytime soon. But it's a good thing to see that this group is that close, and the Lakers front office really seem to notice that and are really cognizant of how much that matters for this young group. Now with, you know, Nick Young being in a contract year and him, like, there's no way he's re-upping after this year. He's not going to pick up his player option unless he gets hurt or something like that.
Yeah, he'd have to have some type of severe injury, I think, if he was going to pick up his player option, which obviously wouldn't be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. He's probably going to command like a, what would you say, an $8, $9 million offer? I could see it.
Yeah, so I was thinking a lot about this today, actually, because mm-hmm. of that report that they didn't want to trade him. And I was trying to think of why teams wouldn't want to trade for Nick Young, because I think that sometimes we watch these guys all the time. We might overvalue them, or at least value them more than other teams do. Mm-hmm. And so why wouldn't a team trade for Nick Young? I think part of it would be because they think maybe he's a product of Luke's system. Mm-hmm. Part of it would be just you don't want to give up assets for a half season rental. And part of it is he's been a guy that's been shown to be, you know, pretty prone to his emotional state is very much reflected out there in how he plays. And is he going to be as happy somewhere else other than Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. Maybe he does find a way to work out some type of longer term deal to stay here. I don't know what's going to go on there. But yeah, I could see him maybe getting $8 or $9 million from some team. I mean, he's shooting really well. He's the fourth best 3-point shooter in the league right now that's taking a high volume of them. It's crazy.
No, I would say I agree with everything that you brought up. And again, it would be giving up assets for a rental, right? Because I don't know that necessarily. I don't think anybody can feel all that great about Nick Young's of re-signing, in that he's going to be a free agent. He's going to look around at all the potential outlets by which he's going to get. I would say this is probably going to be his last contract in the NBA, and
most likely.
And so you know, for the Lakers, what you can't have, or what the top criticism of this front office over the last few years is that they have so many assets to just walk out the door without getting anything in return for them, and this would be another one. But like you're saying,
it depends on how you look at what they're getting for them, though. Like, sure, the Lakers, you can mock it and say, oh, the Lakers got an extra one or two wins because of Nick Young. But, you know, that may they may feel like that has tangible value to them.
Yeah. I mean, Sure, but
and if it helps these young guys develop, that maybe the chemistry is a little bit better around the team this year because they get along with Nick Young. That's one of those intangible things that we just can't kind of, we don't know the impact of it for sure from the outside.
And I that was the point I just made a second ago. But I'm also saying that like in a rebuild, like the Lakers are going through right now, they've done great things with the assets that they've acquired. Like they're the opposite of the Boston Celtics, where the Celtics are great at acquiring all these assets, but then once they get the draft picks, they go dumb, you know. And then the Lakers, on the other hand, don't do a very good job of acquiring these assets. But when they do get them, they don't tend to miss on it, you know, unless you're talking about Anthony Brown, and that's really it, you know. So I would say that I'd like to see the Lakers front office have a little higher rate of opportunity for them to do more with more assets. So
I'm just not entirely certain that they can get something for Nick Young is my thing.
Yeah.
Lou Williams, I would be pretty surprised. It's not easy to find a team that needs Lou Williams, but you'd think that you'd be able to trade him for something.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't want to do that. Maybe they really want him under a cheap $7 million deal next year, and they don't think that they can do better than that. Maybe they don't think that like a second rounder, or maybe a first rounder. I don't think they could get a first rounder for Lou Williams from most teams. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that they're going to get great value for Lou or Nick, the more that I think about it.
Yep. No, and that's what it sounds like if Steve Kyler has proper, I don't know why I just called him Jake, but if he has legitimate information from the Lakers on this, then, you know, then that's what they're thinking, and I'm fine with it. I don't feel strongly either way on the report, you know. I trust the Lakers front office. That's why I wrote the Jim Buss article that I wrote. They've done enough to deserve our optimism about the direction that the Lakers are going in.
Yeah, I think so too. I've, especially this year with the way that the team kind of has when the team's been healthy, they've been gelling and they've been impressive.
Yeah, tonight, especially offensively, defensively, we'll just have that conversation later or leave that conversation in the back. When the Lakers' offense is clicking and the ball is moving around the way it does, like that's fun basketball. When they're getting up and down the court, you know, and Julius Randle is making the decisions that he made tonight in transition, like that's a really fun Laker team. And honestly, I don't know what more the Laker fans could ask for when the team is playing the way they played tonight. Now, you look at their record and you say, well, that's the Laker fan base could ask for more wins. That'd be nice. And I do think that I hope that they're going to start figuring this out. And the record getting easier is also something that will help.
Yeah, their schedule is about to get a little bit easier. They have more home games coming up. They're going to be in a more advantageous position to succeed. That's for sure.
Yep, absolutely. So fun times here. We are back on the regular schedule.
Before we go here, we have a couple quick hitting things to get out of the way, or at least one.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually both Timofey Mozgov related, because I know that you guys love Timofey Mozgov content. I think that that's like the core audience of our show is listening to us just for Timofey Mozgov stuff.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So I thought that this quote that he gave to Mark Medina is either tonight, or I'm not sure. I haven't read the story that it's from yet, but I saw Mark's tweet promoting the story. And so we have a new segment now. I don't know how often it's going to recur, but Timofey Mozgov discusses whether or not he's planning to murder somebody. So Mozgov told Mark, I guess, I need to pick it up, be more physical, and hit people around. It's not like killing someone, but being stronger. So I'm very happy that Mozgov confirmed he does not have plans to literally murder someone out on the court. I feel like that's probably good that he made that distinction. That was definitely a necessary call on his part.
Apparently, the game, the style of play in Russia is significantly different than what we watch out here.
Yeah, those Russian pickup games must be no joke. Yeah. You go in there. I actually am planning to kill someone out on the court today.
Yeah, like the desire to make a distinction there is probably pretty telling about what Mozgov had to deal with growing up. So that's pretty fun. We did say anytime we ask for questions and people respond with questions, I think it's also important that we get to them. So at You Die By Jumpers asks, why is Ingram so conservative? Looks so much better when he attacks the rim aggressively. I think it's a matter of ability to do it. I don't know if he necessarily – like tonight he had Mike Conley in the post – and he was trying to back him down, and Mike Conley wasn't budging, and that's a point guard doing that, you know. So it's going to take. Yes, I agree that when he is, you know, making the strides forward to the basket that he's capable of making, he looks really, really good. He makes the occasional play every so often that you kind of go, wow, holy whoa, and then he'll follow it up with a play where you say, oh God, is he ever going to be a scorer? And it's a matter of getting strong enough to be able to make the former of those moves more consistently.
Yeah, I thought that our friend Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation kind of put it best when he mentioned that Ingram slithered to the basket for a layup on one of his attempts tonight. And it really got me thinking, like, slithering is really the only way that you can describe the only way that Ingram can get to the basket.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to truck people. He's not going to move people out of the way and create space because he weighs, like, less than I do. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of has to kind of like wiggle his way in between guys. And really that's going to be why you don't see him taking it to the basket as much. It's just because there are going to be times where he tries and he just runs into a brick wall.
Yeah. Yeah. And tonight the brick wall came in the form of not Zach Randolph, not Marc Gasol, but the point guard, Mike Conley, who is I would say weighs as much as Ingram, I would imagine.
Yeah. Probably like double.
Yeah. All right, so that does it for this episode of Locked On Lakers. Like I said, we are back to our regular schedule. We are here every day for you with your Lakers hashtag content. We have some fun.
And your Timo hashtag content. We promise to keep you up to date on whether or not he plans to murder anyone and whether or not he gets hit in the face, which he did tonight. So the Lakers have only lost one game after Timo got hit in the face so far this season. So they're putting that record on the line. I think they're like, I'm just going to go ahead and guess like 7-1. I don't know, 8-1.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
That sounds about right. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but
it's also crazy he's been hit in the face 8 or 9 times.
I just think it's funny that when you talk to the Lakers about it, they say it happens all the time. They're not surprised. Like, it just happens all the time in practice. He gets hit with the ball. He gets hit with people's hands. His face is just like a contact magnet.
Apparently.
It's like James Harden's arms powers like transferred to somebody's face.
Yeah. Poor Mozgov. No wonder he's thinking about killing people.
Like, Lou Williams sees how much Mozgov gets hit in the face and is mad that he can't draw contact like that.
he's watching Timofey Mozgov get hit in the face and then yelling at him to shoot the ball at the basket.
Imagine them having a conversation about fouls for it. Mozgov's like, yes, refs never call anything. And Lou Williams is like, really? Like, I just, like, I get, like, somebody breathes on me and they send me the line for 3 points. So, like, have you tried just shooting it off balance and making it look like you got hit? Yeah. And Mozgov just tells him, like, all my shots are off balance.
Oh, man. Poor Timo.
Yeah. Timo's a great dude. He's a funny guy.
So, we have great guests coming for the rest of the game or for the rest of the week. And as the season rolls along, we hope that the Lakers are done with the little rut of basketball that they got themselves into the last couple weeks. And we can talk more positively about them. This show, for example, was a lot more fun than talking about them losing repeatedly over and over and over again. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I enjoy laughing while we record the show. And today was a good day for that. So hope everybody enjoyed this. Stick around with us as the weeks go along. And we promise we'll be here for you. We got some
good guests coming up in the next couple weeks, so yeah. Stay tuned for that. We don't like to announce them beforehand because we feel like that jinxes it, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Yep. So that does it for this one. We'll talk to you guys soon. Lakers win tonight by 14, not four.
Anthony doesn't know how to read scores, but they did win by 14 tonight.
Well, have a good one, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.